All right. Hello, folks. Hello, people listening. My name is Tennyson Wolfe. Welcome to Human, the podcast. I like to think of this as conversations with interesting people who I get to know and be with in my life. So it's periodic learnings with interesting people. And every now and then I'll take some of my blog post writing and put it into a little bit of a voiced thing. I think of this as intimate conversations that are oriented towards health and healing or just being healthy human beings that really just begins with a layer of witness, like what's it like to be you and seeing each other as human beings. I have a general principle that is you start anywhere and you follow it everywhere, and I find that just to be a rich path and a rich process. Today, I am so glad to welcome a friend and colleague, Kate McCracken, onto this chunk of time and this podcast together. And so welcome, Kate. And I'll say a few things about you, and then I'm going to just invite you to roll with it. It's a little contexting. You and I know each other from a few different settings. One is the QT retreats that Quinina Robertson and I have offered over the last 5 or 6 years or so. And another is through some deliberate work with Lee, the part of the organization or, you know, group that you're working with around leadership and educational equity, or equity and education. I'll invite you to say whatever you want to say about that. I know you as a person who just feel very self-reflective, very honest in your voice, and very perceptive also, willing to tell the truth of things. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to invite you into a little bit of this human to human podcast time, just to welcome some of your brains and heart and tone into things. Hi, Kate.
Hi, thank you.
I have a starting question for you, which is just a little contexting. I want to welcome you to say a little bit about yourself. So, Miss Kate, you know, would you share just a little bit of who you are in the world at whatever layer of identity you want to choose here?
Sure. So I'm Kate McCracken. It has the word crack right in it, MC Crack EN. People love it. I hated it when I was a kid, but I've grown to love it. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, which feels significant because I was born and raised in Southern California and chose to move here in 2018, 2 years ago, because I've always wanted to try living somewhere else. I live with my partner, Jennifer. I identify as a queer person. And my son, Angus, I'm divorced from his father. He's a middle schooler, a tween, almost a teen. That feels like mom of that feels like a big identity right now. And for work, I have always done something in social, community-based, nonprofit sort of work right now in educational equity. But I tend to work specifically in leadership and organizational development. I am a facilitator, a trainer, a person who helps people make sense out of things and hopefully helps people make things better by taking better care of themselves and each other. Mm. And I am a writer, she says hesitantly, because I, for being a writer, sure don't write a lot, but I'm working on it. I think that's enough for now.
Okay. I'm just going to applaud that. You know, the whole the whole journey with I am a writer. You know, being able to own that statement is one that I definitely relate to. Also, Miss Kate, there's a simple premise here in so many of the conversations that I'm a part of, but particularly on this show and podcast, that is intended to witness, I think, and it starts with just some, you know, simple entry points. The responses to the entry points may be very complex, but it starts with a simple thing, and it's a little bit of like, what has your attention these days? You just started to name a little bit, you know, that to me, this is an open landscape to be in. If it's my tween turning teen, great. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why that might have your attention and why that matters to all of us. I realize I'm playing a little bit of what's deeply personal and what actually ends up being quite broadly universal. Ms. Kate, what's some of what has your attention these days?
I'm gonna go with writing for a moment. It's connected to my kiddo also, but I probably have 2 or 3 75% written books in drawers somewhere. Yeah. You know, and this is my pattern. Reach the 75% mark on a long journey, give up. Getting through over the hump to the end has never been a thing that I found my way through easily. And I am told by people who read my writing, which they usually do on social media now, although I did have a blog before, oh, you're so great. When are you going to write a book? I want to read your book. And I have not until maybe a week ago. And by the way, I'm 40. I just turned 40. So. Mm-hmm. And I think I started writing when I was 6. I have not until about a week ago recognized that I could write and have my writing be valuable just for the simple reason that it is good writing. Mm-hmm. I had made up a story in my mind that the writing had to have some sort of moral lesson or grand teaching, or big wisdom that was going to change people's lives, and that without it, it wasn't worth anything. It wasn't any good. I even have a story that I don't write fiction, largely for that reason. You know, I tend to write just about my own experience in creative nonfiction, and I am reflective and willing to tell the truth about things, so it's easy to get to the little moral lesson. But in fiction, I was holding back because I couldn't figure out how to make the story meaningful, as if there's something other than just beautiful words making something meaningful. Mm-hmm. And it's blown my mind. And to connect it back to the kiddo thing.
Big breath. And.
Yeah, exactly. I started just this last week also writing another version of a memoir that I probably started 3 times before. So I don't think I need to write it all. I think it's already there. Yeah. But in this new context about being a mother and learning to mother myself through the process of motherhood. And every time I've sat down to write this week, I've cried the entire time. And I've thought, oh, is that why I was avoiding this? Like, is this what it's going to be like? Am I agreeing to this right now? Am I consenting to this right now? I guess for this week I am, and we'll see how it evolves. But makes a little bit of sense also that when I really let myself go there, that it's not a light and easy and fun and pretty experience like it is to write something quippy on social media and have people heart react to it real fast.
Lots to follow in there, Miss Kate. And the writing theme is quite specific for me also. So there's lots of ways to play into that. How are you changing as a writer? Or how, that's not even the question. How are you changing as a human being because you write? Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I've always had the experience of writing to think. You know, people will say to me, oh, the things that you write are so inspiring, or you're so clear, you're sharing so much wisdom or knowledge. But maybe what they don't know is that I don't sit down knowing what it is. I sit down with a question or sit down with an issue or a concern. And by the end of the writing, the answer reveals itself. And I've been very maybe spoiled in that usually that happens pretty quickly. You know, I can stew on something for days and then I sit down and use my phone notes app to write a note to myself, and in 15 minutes, I've solved all the world's problems, at least, you know, for that microcosm. And so I have been maybe spoiled by that. And when it comes to doing larger projects that require the dirty D word, discipline, inviting myself into process that is consistent and reliable and being in relationship with idea and creativity and not just working in short bursts when I feel like it. I think I am trying to allow myself to be changed mm-hmm. by spirit through writing as someone who shows up not just when it's easy, which I think probably the only other place I do that in my life, frankly, is parenting. Mm-hmm. I don't feel super comfortable saying this, but I'll say anyway, I've been good at enough things for most of my life that I haven't really had to struggle that much. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty easy to avoid things that I wasn't that good at and still look perfectly competent and successful. And so I just silently duck away if I don't think I'm going to be successful at something other than maybe parenting and now my second longest term relationship that I'm determined to make work. Mm-hmm. As you heard, I bowed out of the first one.
There's a ton that's in there. I think that you're already responding to this. I'm going to ask a question with like a slight turn of the dial and welcome you to follow it. Because the first question as an entry point to me is like, what has your attention? And then the there's a layer of insightful follow-up to it to me that says, and what's that got to do with who you are or who you're becoming? This sort of overarching premise of now, this moment of now is always connected to a longer arc, whether you want to look forward or backward. And this notion that the inner world, what we see and feel and, you know, explore or, you know, avoid for that matter, it has something to do with the outer world too. Can you share a little bit more about in the longer arc of things, this writing practice, process, avoidance, etc. What's it got to do with who you are and who you're becoming?
I experience it somewhat as a return to something.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant around that language because it's not like it's returning to something I remember. Mm-hmm. I have a core belief that I was born with enough purity of essence that I'm finding my way back to after being socialized out of it, but it's not like I can recall living this way. But the things that I know about myself that I appreciate as the gifts, my whether those are innate things like being an appreciator of beauty, being able to stand in the garden for hours and just delight in it, or more learned things like how to explain nearly anything to nearly anyone and have them understand, which I think probably go together. I have spent a lot of time, less so as I've approached my 40s and I'm now in that decade, but I've spent a lot of time doubting, beating self up, putting self down, trying to be different versions of myself that I thought other people wanted me to be, and admitting to myself and others that I am a writer, that I write, and that my writing is good enough just by virtue of existing, is admitting that I am, period, that I exist, that just being the whole version of myself as I am matters and doesn't need to be anything else. I didn't know that till you asked me, by the way.
Is done here, right? It's one of the things that I've appreciated in how I've known you, Kate. There is a way that you kind of stand for this I am, or I am, period, I am enough, or I am the version that I like to play with is I am, except when I'm not, which is also sort of the bigger I am, I suppose. It's a thread that I love in you. I'm going to try two more questions with you and then we'll tuck it in and wrap ourselves up here a little bit. I can hear it in the words that you're speaking, that you've already spoken. There's oodles of wisdom. Is there a particular wisdom that you feel you have discovered as the human being that you are that you feel like you want to name out loud, or maybe even say, yeah, hi, you know, fellow humans out there, here's a little piece of wisdom that's worked for me that you're offering kind of into the center. What's the wisdom? Is there a gem of wisdom that you might want to offer?
I always panic in opportunities like these because I feel like there are so many things and I never have the sound bite ready. It's funny, I can't recall if you said this in the intro, but I'm in this leadership development program with you and Juanita, Fire and Water. And one of the things I did in our first retreat together was keep a separate page where when I got those downloads, it's like, oh yeah, that's wisdom I have. I would write it down. Where that book is right now, I do not know. Not the most organized person. So on the other side of the panic, am I going to choose the right thing? Is some version of, oh, this is the Nike slogan, just do it.
Yeah.
Some version of can't we just try?
Yeah.
Not needing to live a life of haste or without intentionality or without thoughtfulness, but can't we just get out of our ways? And I guess the wisdom maybe comes in permission. I give myself permission and I wish everyone else would, and I would be willing to give permission to anyone else who needs it to just try.
Yeah,
you think something might work, you want something to be different. I don't have the self-experience that we ever find out until we try.
Yeah,
I don't ever learn it or see it until I'm doing it. And I feel like I need permission to go that way sometimes. Yeah. And I've gotten it from others and I'm happy to give it to others. And I'm now learning to give it to myself.
Yeah. I feel the wisdom in that, and I feel the wisdom in what you're saying, Kate. There's lots of different ways to reword that, but I feel something in you has been so consistently around the legitimacy or the invitation / permission to just be, or to be becoming. You know, the words start to fail when you start talking that way, but there's something consistent in the or an integrity, I think, in how I've known you speaking and being such things. This is not a show about coronavirus and corona pandemic, and or it's not a series about all of that. And yet we are living in these times. This, we're recording on what's today, May 28th, 2020. Same kind of question. Is there a wisdom that it's sort of an intimidating question. Is there a thing that you've learned that you would actually, you know, just offer as wisdom for the times, with particular attention to pandemic?
Yes. Well, there's one thing that I've learned, and then there's one that I'm still trying to figure out, and sure, I'd love to share both if it's okay. So the learning is self-focused, as all the best stuff is for me. And that is that this really works for me. And in these conditions where there is less pressure to do, I have found it so much more easy to be, even though there is pressure to do, but I can make the pressure go away by just leaving my phone in the other room or not checking my email, right? Yeah. Like, no one's going to show up at the front door. Yeah. And I have been able to relax into a version of myself that I have longed for and known in glimpses, but maybe never spent as much time with. And this time really works for me, and that's okay. I think that's maybe the wisdom, is that it's okay that it's working for me. I don't need to feel guilty or bad about that. I can still have consciousness. It's okay that the dominant mainstream way of being before this didn't work for me. And it's okay for me to not go back to that if that's where we end up going as a society or culture. Like, I get to have some choice and agency here. Related, the other thing is that my biggest fear this entire time has been that we won't change. And when I turn that back on myself, because I know that my fears about people outside of me are usually about me, it's that I actually fear that I will change. And so the question I'm asking myself now, wisdom in the question, is how do I need to be changed? How am I ready to be changed? What do I want to be changed? What do I not want to be changed, but it's important? And allowing myself to lean into that, which requires more self-trust and trust in spirit or divine guidance than I have access to on a regular day. So good thing for all this quiet time, because it helps me have more trust.
Yeah, to grow a few things in a different way, right?
Yeah.
In that quiet. Maybe some things can only grow in the quiet. I definitely relate to that. Miss Kate, we're going to tuck it in for today, even though it might be fun to play with this for another couple of hours or a weekend's worth. I feel like there's a lot that's here. Anything else that you feel you just want to add into this context of a couple of friends talking about, you know, some interesting things in the name of witness and well-being? Anything else you want to add in?
Well, the one thing I was afraid you were going to ask was, what's it like to be you? The direct question. I was like, I don't know, how am I going to answer that?
Yeah.
And I just came up with a lovely imagery. I think my writer voice, without having to write it down, I am recognizing also in this time that being me is somewhat like being a leaf in the wind.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get kicked up and tumble around. Sometimes you get stuck in a gutter or a curb. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're fluttering on the tree in harmony with all the other leaves. And sometimes I name that as a problem, as if I'm supposed to be just one kind of leaf all of the time. And I'm really having an opportunity now to embrace all the different states of my leaf and appreciate them for the impermanence. And certainly purposeful, even if I don't know what the purpose is in the moment, states of being. And this feels like a nice place to share that. And you a good witness for that. So thank you. Thanks so much for inviting me to this conversation.
Ah, it's so easy, Kate. Thank you. And I just want to celebrate your, what I know in you as a thoughtful listener, a thoughtful speaker, a heartful listener, those all sort of swirl together. Thanks for today. In terms of the podcast itself here, for those of you listening, thanks for joining again. My Human to Human blog and other writings and information on some of the work that I'm up to with groups and so forth is available on my website, tennisonwolf.com. And so glad, Kate, for the time together today.
Thank you.
Be well.